The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Grad students at Boston University on strike. What's next in Michigan after repealing right to work? And today on the show, justice for East Palestine residents. What happened on Saturday and what's next? And later, our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 26th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. What we're going to do on the show today is a follow-up. If you were listening last week, last Tuesday, we had two individuals on the show, Maximilian Alvarez and Chris Albright. Now, Max is the editor-in-chief of The Real News Network. Do check out his website, therealnews.com. And Chris is a member of LIUNA, and he's a laborer in East Palestine, Ohio, and he's very sick. Why? Because of what happened almost 14 months ago. We had that horrible disaster, train derailment in East Palestine, and on Saturday, Max and Chris put together the Justice for East Palestine Committee, and this was a collection of residents, workers, unions, national unions, environmental activists that all gathered Saturday afternoon demanding that President Biden issue a major disaster declaration for health care under what's called the Stafford Act. Now, the Stafford Act would allow all residents and workers who were sick and like Chris to get health care from the government. And sadly, President Biden has not acted on this. Man, that guy has done so many good things when it comes to protecting people. This is not one of them. Well, I talked to Max yesterday. He said it was amazing. The turnout was, there were unions from all around the country that showed up, activists from all around the country. And Chris, we're going to talk more with Chris. Chris is suffering a heart condition because of breathing the toxic chemicals that were emitted from that train. And then they had this controlled burn, which made the situation even worse. So Max Alvarez, Chris Albright will be joining us in the first segment of the show. Later in the show, we're going to check in with our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. And for the last couple of months, we've been zeroing in on the airline industry, and yesterday, I'll tell you, this is a fast-moving target. There's so much going on, especially with Boeing. Yesterday, three senior Boeing executives, including their CEO, announced they're stepping down. Now, the company has been involved in a succession of negative stories ever since a door panel blew out on a Boeing 737 MAX plane flown by Alaska Airlines. Now, that was in January. Well, last year, an FAA investigation observed a disconnect between Boeing's senior management and other members of the organization on safety culture, with employees worrying about retaliation for reporting safety issues. Well, after the door plug blew off, an FAA audit of different aspects of the production process released, this was about 2 weeks ago, that audit found that Boeing failed 33 of 89 product audits. On March 9th, the Washington Post reported that the Justice Department had opened a criminal investigation into the door plug failure. So with all this going on, the company is in turmoil. And Tom has been on this story from day one, so he's going to get into that. Also, he's going to talk about Social Security and Medicare. There's a group in Washington that would like to pull back, cut Social Security, raise the retirement age. In response, There are over 300 sponsors in the House, 53 co-sponsors in the Senate for what's called the Social Security Fairness Act. And the momentum continues to build, and there is progress that may be moving forward to stop this madness that's going on with the House leadership. So Tom Buffenbarger will be joining us as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. The Boston University Graduate Students Union has voted overwhelmingly to go on strike, and they went on strike yesterday. Negotiations had been ongoing with the university, though the union says the latest offers from management have not come close to meeting the demands of graduate workers. In addition to raises, which the union claims are necessary to meet the cost of living in Boston, the workers are seeking job security provisions, child care, and better health and dental benefits. Now, the strike began yesterday with a noon lunch rally at Marsh Plaza and is set to continue with pickets every day this week. The Michigan legislature has been the source of key legislative victories for labor recently, most notably including their repeal of the state's right-to-work law last year. Now, legislative staffers in the Michigan House are pushing for union representation. At issue for the staffers include pay disparities, long hours, and high turnover rates. Citing his union career, President Biden has nominated Marty Walsh, a member of Labor's Local 223 out of Boston, who is also Biden's first labor secretary, a state lawmaker, and a former Boston mayor, to the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors. How about that? If confirmed by the Senate, Marty will join the Biden-named majority on the board, which sets policy for the Postal Service and which can hold Postmaster General Louis DeJoy accountable for his actions. Now, DeJoy has been dogged by controversy over everything from slowing down first-class mail to conflicts of interest in awarding a contract without competitive bidding to the manufacturer in the anti-union Carolinas to build new postal trucks instead of having them built at a unionized plant in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He also ordered the removal of hundreds of blue mailboxes from central cities just before the election 4 years ago. Yeah, this guy's had a lot of problems. We've addressed them here on the show. Well, the president lauded Walsh's service as labor secretary in naming him to the board post. Walsh had resigned from the Department of Labor to return to the labor movement, becoming the full-time executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association. And one more here, and I want to play for you a clip, and this is courtesy of one of our great sponsors. This is the Alliance for American Manufacturing. We had a great conversation with Scott Paul about 2 weeks ago about the fact that China is building almost all the ships, commercial ships, around the world. Right now, the United States builds fewer than 1% of the world's commercial ship vessels. What Scott did, he had his team put together a new video to explain why the United States has lost nearly all of its shipbuilding capacity. Let's listen here on America's Workforce.
From our earliest days, America established an impressive shipbuilding capability to keep our nation safe, project our strength, and grow our trade. As of the mid-1970s, U.S. builders were still launching 75 large commercial ships per year and employing more than 180,000 people. But in 1981, we slashed investments in this sector, turning our backs on tens of thousands of workers. The American shipbuilding industry was devastated. This gifted foreign competitors with a massive advantage as those governments continued to subsidize and build up their shipbuilding trades. Today, China controls over half of the world's shipbuilding and began construction on nearly 1,800 large ocean-going vessels in 2022. The U.S., during the same year, just five. A leaked U.S. Navy briefing slide reveals that China's shipbuilding capacity is 232 times greater than the United States. This has significant national security implications, The U.S. Navy is now turning to Chinese manufacturers when it needs new fuel tankers to support our global fleet, or dry docks to build and repair warships. Meanwhile, the U.S. Merchant Marine currently consists of about 175 vessels that are 30 years old on average. This aging fleet, coupled with our dependence on foreign shipbuilders, puts our broader supply chain at risk. Investing in our domestic commercial fleet and in manufacturing more broadly would help shore up our national security and insulate us against the type of disruptions we saw during the pandemic. Americans agree that it is essential to get U.S. shipbuilding back on track. A recent poll found 82% of likely voters think it's concerning the U.S. builds so few ships, and 74% back government investment to rebuild our shipbuilding industry. The United Steelworkers, along with other trade unions, have filed a trade case that aims to do just that. If successful, it will levy a fee against China every time a Chinese-built vessel enters a U.S. port. All of the revenue from the port fees would be used to support American shipbuilders as they revitalize facilities, invest in the workforce, and grow supply chains. As the industry grows, it would create shipyard jobs and boost local economies through the purchase of steel, paint, cable, engines, aluminum alloy, and other vital components. The trade case also would strengthen requirements to ensure certain critical products and operations utilize U.S.-made ships. Most importantly, it would make sure the U.S. military and our companies aren't reliant on foreign countries for this critical ocean-going infrastructure. Join us in driving support to help get the U.S. shipbuilding industry back on track. Sign the petition by scanning the QR code below or visiting our website at www.americanmanufacturing.org.
And you can check out that video on the Alliance's website. That would be americanmanufacturing.org, americanmanufacturing.org. I tell you, it's so sad. We have pretty much surrendered manufacturing to China, to Mexico, to Vietnam. And we have to get it back. We have to get it back. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, justice for residents in East Palestine.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at afge.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. Before we join our next couple of guests here, I just want to mention what happened yesterday on the show. We commemorated the 113th anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York City. And yesterday, Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue reminded readers of Teen Vogue on that anniversary that killed 147 garment workers after their employer had locked the exits of how that tragedy prompted the federal government to create programs that generations of Americans have relied on for decades. We're talking economic security, dignity on the job, minimum wage, health and safety regulations. As she put it, each generation has a duty to take the baton of progress from those who came before us. She noted that industries whose workforces are mostly women or immigrants have historically often broken the law, exposing workers to dangerous conditions and withholding pay. And the problem persists in the present. She reported that the Department of Labor is now working to address it. For example, after three injuries at a plant outside Chicago, including the December 2022 death of a 29-year-old sanitation worker, the Labor Department fined the company almost $3 million. Earlier this year, the department recovered more than $1 million for 165 workers whose employer had cheated them of overtime pay, the largest settlement ever for California garment workers. It's amazing. The problems still persist after that horrible fire, and they will continue unless we get real vocal about it. Speaking of getting vocal, let's go to our live line right now. And joining us is Max Alvarez, editor of the Real News Network, and Chris Albright, who's a member of LIUNA 1058. And both were in East Palestine, Ohio on Saturday. We did a pretty good show on it last week. It was a week ago today, and we figured, you know what, let's find out what happened and where we're going next. Max, I'm going to start with you. You were telling me yesterday you had a pretty good coalition of unions, community activists. Talk to me about it, Max. It's all yours, brother.
Thank you, brother. And again, thank you so much for having us back on to talk about this, having us on the first time to talk about it. It really helped us get the word out. And, you know, what happened on Saturday was incredibly special, but this is just the beginning. So we definitely need more folks getting on board with this, getting involved, union or non-union, you know, faith-based groups, community organizations. Like, I really think I saw the beginning of a working class movement there in East Palestine on Saturday. But Chris can speak to this more in a minute, but, like, it felt like every step we took to get there was increasingly more difficult, and like everything that could have gone wrong in the lead up to Saturday did go wrong. Poor Chris was running all over town, you know, booking new venues and trying to get PA systems and donated food and all that stuff. So we were all, and I was there, you know, running around filming for the Real News, and that we're going to have pieces on this coming out soon. But like then when we were there on Saturday, and, like, you know, we're waiting for folks to show up, and then they start showing up. They start trickling in from all over the country, you know. Like, we had, like, just an incredible – it wasn't so much about the size of the gathering, because throughout the day, you know, we had between, you know, 50 and 70 people moving in and out of the venue. But it was mm-hmm. about the mix of people who were there. It was folks from – unions all across the board, like representatives and members of United Electrical Workers, the IUPAT Painters Union, Chris, you know, like LIUNA. I mean, but we had also like folks from the Teamsters, the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen, you know, the Machinists. And we had, you know, folks from environmental groups like Food and Water Watch in Cleveland. We had members from organizations here in Baltimore, and I could go on and on, Flesh, but I think like what was so incredible to see was all those people in one room together with East Palestine residents, with residents from other sacrifice zones, like Vina Kali was there. Vina Kali has been fighting the fight in Piketon, Ohio, that folks in East Palestine are fighting now. She's been fighting that for 30 or 40 years because she's a former nuclear plant worker who worked at the plant there in Piketon. And, you know, that plant has been giving people, poisoning people, giving them cancers for decades. And so the very fact that, like, someone like Vina was standing there in that room talking to East Palestine residents, talking to unions and labor and environmental groups, and, you know, people came in who are just living near other rail lines. Like, they saw what happened to East Palestine. They're worried about what's going to happen to them. It was really something special to behold, and I saw hope for the working class fight back in East Palestine this weekend. It was like a coalition of the forgotten, you know, like, and I mean, and we're talking not just that, but like people across the political spectrum, like, you know, socialists like me, you know, Trump voters, Democrats, it doesn't matter. We were all there as people to help our neighbors who are in need and to talk about how and why, like, we, our struggles are connected, because it's like everyone was there because we're all fighting different tentacles of the same corporate monsters who are destroying everything, and we realize that we can't fight them alone. We can't beat them on our own in our own communities like East Palestine. But if we band together and merge our collective power and move forward as a class that's there for each other and ready to take on these corporate vampires and these Wall Street vampires and their bot-pop politician friends, we can really make a difference. I saw that in East Palestine, and I am so fired up about it.
I call them vulture capitalists because that's exactly what they are. They gobble up companies. We're seeing what's happening in the rail industry. It's even getting worse now because there's a hedge fund called Ancora Holdings that wants to acquire an interest in Norfolk Southern and fire the CEO. And this is crazy, Max, because we had Greg Regan on yesterday from the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. He said, never in my life did I think I'd be supporting a CEO, but I have to because they're going to probably put somebody in there worse. But that's what we have to deal with in America right now. It's so sad that that this is going on. You know, I want to go to Chris Albright here. Now, Chris is with Liuna 1058. He's suffering a heart condition. Chris, I know you're running around. Are you okay? I mean, you don't need to be running around, with especially with your heart condition like this. And I know there was a lot of organizing going on, but you're okay today. And I'd just like to get your take on what happened on Saturday.
I'm still recovering. I mean, doing something like this is, in my opinion, is very, very, very important. A little bit off topic in a way, but, like, you know, this past Saturday doing this, my daughter had a hockey game. That's the first hockey game I've ever missed of hers. Kind of emphasizes the importance of this. Just having all those people there, and like Max said, you know, all the different unions, all the different people, all the different residents, all the different environmentalist groups, everything like that. It was just amazing to be there, to be a part of that, and to see that. And we all know the unions have power. Unions have power, but when you're getting all these different unions, now they're going to go and they're going to talk to their other brothers and sisters, and then it's going to spread across the board. I really think, like Max said, that this is going to snowball into something so much bigger. And we're going to be able to show people that when we unite as all these different groups and unions and everything, we're going to accomplish what we set out to do, and that is to show the government that we still have the power. We are the ones who are going to enact the change. We're the ones who are going to make it happen. And to see that whole group, that whole coalition just sitting there, like Max said, we had all kinds of different setbacks all day. One of the ones was that we had a bus that broke down on the way here, coming up from Iowa. Uh-huh. So we got a little bit of a late start on the whole function and everything. But what was nice about that was that actually gave all the people that were there a chance to walk around and talk amongst themselves and learn about each other and get everybody's information. So it actually kind of worked out to our benefit that they had that downtime to really sit there and just talk to each other. So it really, really was an honor and a privilege. And there was a lot of running around, a lot of planning, and a lot of fall-throughs and everything that had to happen to make it happen. But at the end of the day, it turned out great, and we are all so proud of what we accomplished that day.
Well, the important thing is we got to get Biden to move on this and issue a major disaster declaration for people like you. You're suffering this heart condition, and maybe you can just refresh our listeners here. You're not working right now, so you don't have health care. Why don't you tell us what's going on in your life right now, Chris?
It's a very sad thing. I mean, you know, right after the derailment, I was diagnosed. I had problems breathing, and I couldn't walk very far, and I was just exhausted, and I had random vomiting and everything. So I went to the doctor, and I got diagnosed with congestive heart failure, which progressed into severe heart failure. And prior to this, I was perfectly healthy. You know, I hadn't been to the doctor in years. I mean, I've been fine. So due to that, I was unable to work. Whenever you don't work, you don't get your health benefits. I am now, right. My health benefits ended in, you know, December 31st. So I have no health benefits, and I have, I don't know how many, eight different prescriptions I have to take every day now, and they're not cheap. The one of the more expensive ones, and it's only one, is $2,700 for one of them. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this stuff right now without having health benefits.
Right.
And that there's due to me not working due to an accident that happened that was not my fault.
No. No, not at all.
And Flash,
not at all.
Can I just add one quick thing to that? Because I want to stress that, like, we had other residents, include like Chris included, but also like other folks in town, other former and current unionists, like, you know, folks like Darren Gamble, who worked for a member of the Bricklayers, who's now retired, who he and his family are going to have to leave their home that he grew up in. He was born there. They've lived there for generations, but his wife keeps getting sick. His kids keep getting sick. He's there appealing to people, like a former RN, a nurse, like, was there, who lives in town. She's going through hell. Her medical debt, her medical bills are piling up sky high. Like, it's not just, I want to stress for people listening, it's not just that this accident happened and then now it went away. It's like people here were exposed to toxic chemicals that I still saw, like, swimming around in the creeks behind their houses. I could still taste the metallic taste in my mouth. This stuff has not gone away. These residents are still suffering. They are like at their wit's end, and it was powerful to hear them share that with the folks in that room. But that's why the core demand that is coming out of this conference, that is coming out of the Justice for East Palestine Residents and Workers Coalition, is to pressure President Biden to invoke the Stafford Act, to declare East Palestine a federal emergency so that it can unlock a bunch of federal resources, including getting the folks of East Palestine immediate government-funded health care so that folks like Chris can get their medicine, other folks can get the screenings they need, and other folks are going to get the care they need when they inevitably get the cancers and stuff like that, that these chemicals are already like starting to cause in their bodies. Like, we heard it firsthand from residents. This problem has not gone away, and that's why we need you brothers and sisters out there to help us fight this fight.
And this is the part that surprised me, because we all know that Biden is pro-union, pro-worker, and he's all about, you know, proper health care here. He's a big supporter of the Affordable Care Act. I just can't for the life of me figure out why he hasn't acted on this. I mean, is he not getting the message, Max? I mean, what do we need to do to get him that message, Max?
We need to build power. We need to make ourselves unignorable. We can't do that on our own. Like, that was the conclusion we came to on Saturday. It was like, we need, like Chris said, we need to make enough noise. We need to bring enough people together, not just in East Palestine, but all the people who feel as forgotten as the people in East Palestine do. Flash, you and I know, we talk to working people across the country every week. You can't do that kind of work without getting the sense that there are so many working people out there who feel so forgotten and abandoned. Maybe a train didn't derail in their backyard. Maybe they were forced into work during COVID and they lost coworkers, or now they're disabled by long COVID. You know, maybe they are, you know, working, they worked at the Lordstown plant in Ohio, and now that plant, you know, like, got closed, and their community, you know, is so much less or worse off than what it was before that. You know, like, again, this is happening everywhere, but we need to band together this coalition of the forgotten to say, we will be forgotten no more, and we are going to be the change we're waiting for. We're going to band together. Like, imagine how powerful it will be to have East Palestine residents joining up with, you know, striking Pittsburgh Post-Gazette workers, you know, folks living in Cancer Alley, Louisiana, or Navajo Nation near the uranium mines, right? There's so many quote-unquote sacrifice zones, so many threats to our health and safety that are coming from the same sources. And I think that that's one of the reasons why President Biden, like, hasn't invoked the Stafford Act yet, is not necessarily because he doesn't care about East Palestine. I don't know. I can't see into the man's heart. But I think one of the conclusions we also came to on Saturday was, like, if you declare an federal emergency for East Palestine, which needs to happen, like, we need to declare federal emergencies for a lot of other parts of this country that are, frankly, still going through the kind of thing East Palestine is going through. Like, there are a lot of places in America right now that would fit the description for places that qualify to have this kind of federal disaster declaration. And I worry that Biden is not doing this in East Palestine, because then it's going to cascade into all the other communities that have been poisoned by corporate greed, and then the it's going to expose how deep this problem is. But we got to keep pushing. We got to keep making power, like, hear our demands and bend to our will, and we can only do that if we band together across the things that divide us, across the Democrat, Republican, you know, crap. We got to union, non-union, whatever. We got to band together as a working class before these corporate vampires take over everything and destroy our planet. And this is where it starts.
Well said, my man. Max Alvarez of the Real News Network, editor-in-chief. And you got to keep your eye on therealnews.com, because they'll have a lot of stuff posted over there of what happened this past Saturday. And also Chris Albright, who's a member of LIUNA 1058. Max and Chris, you hang in there. We got to stop this madness. I know, and we got to be vocal about it, and it starts right here. It starts on this show. It starts on your show, and eventually the national media will pick up on this. And the more vocal we get, things will happen. Good things will happen. We definitely got to help out Chris and all the brothers and sisters over there who are suffering because of that ridiculous train derailment and also that controlled burn that happened 14 months ago. Max and Chris, you take care, and you got our word here. You got my word here. We're gonna stay on this issue and get this fixed, okay, my brothers?
Thank you,
awesome,
brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tom Buffenbarger, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, is going to talk about Boeing. It's Boeing gone for the CEO. That story coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA. org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel for more information. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 ironworker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge, to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always, always appreciate those five-star ratings. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, to loggers, and miners. And in 1965, the Blues developed the National Labor Office to strengthen their commitment to organized labor. Well, today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care, partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, and their families. Working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. You can learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. All right, let's go to line number two. Welcome a dear friend, longtime supporter of America's Workforce. That would be Tommy Buffenbarger, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, now our independent labor voice. We're going to talk about Boeing. But the big story today is that bridge collapse in Baltimore. Tom, how far do you live from that bridge that fell down early this morning?
30 miles, Flash. And this is quite the story. I'm sure in my area, everybody woke up to their phones flashing, their computers going crazy, TV, the whole nine yards. This is a big deal for this entire, well, the entire East Coast. Baltimore is one of the busiest harbors in the United States. And it's still too early to tell. They're trying to recover people who may be missing and in the water. But if this shuts down, because it collapsed right across the river, if this shuts down Baltimore Harbor and big ships can't get in and out with their cargo, this is a huge, huge impact to the economics of this region. Just an amazing story to wake up to.
Yeah, and to watch that video, it's just amazing how it just folded and fell right into the harbor. Just amazing. All right, let's talk about Boeing. Boy, this is a fast-moving target. We saw the CEO announce that he's stepping down, a couple of other executives. I mean, this is not good. And Tom, I know you've been very, very close, because with the Machinists Union, I mean, your folks have been repairing and building those planes. And boy, the company has just changed dramatically here. And once again, you got to blame Wall Street. I mean, the same thing with the rail industry. You know, profits, profits, profits. Let's see if we can do it cheaper. Let's cut the workforce. I know you got the inside track. What is going on here, Tom?
Well, to sum it all up, Flash, and there'll be more news to come out on this. What happened to Boeing is they were GE'd. That's General Electric, but they were GE'd because going back to the night, and I believe it's 1997, when McDonnell Douglas and Boeing got together, they merged, and McDonnell Douglas was being run by ex-GE executives. They kind of took over the corporate suite at Boeing, moved out the Boeing people who were engineers and scientists and people who knew how to engineer and build airplanes. So McDonnell Douglas took over. They're good maybe at fighter jets, but not a commercial airplane business. Well, all these, they had a succession of ex-GE CEOs, the Stonecifers, the McNerneys, now the Calhouns, and a couple in between. And they took their lessons on how to run a corporation from Jack Welch, the notorious CEO of GE, who introduced to the world, it's all about profits and shareholder value versus quality, safety, and treating the employees decently. And so over the years, it's all piled up. And this idea that you can slap together an airplane and you really don't have to pay a lot of attention to safety. I mean, how many planes do we have in the sky and how many accidents do we have? And they focused on Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And this is what we get. This company is going to be in a fight for survival now. And they just you mentioned that the current chairman is stepping down. Well, how he came to step down was this past weekend, the airline executives from all the customer base Boeing has asked for a meeting with Boeing's board without the CEO present.
Oh, boy.
And after that meeting, it was announced that the top three Boeing guys were leaving. Now, one left immediately. He left yesterday. Another one will be leaving in a couple months. And the CEO said he's leaving by the end of the year. Well, let me tell you, he'll be gone before then. And this is supposed to signal their commitment to bringing the company back and improving all the conditions and safety and reliability of the aircraft, et cetera. Well, we'll see. We'll see when we determine who the next CEO is. Wall Street is telling Boeing, you need to do what General Electric did. Now, let's tie the two companies together and why I say they were GE'd. When Jack Welch ran General Electric, he ran at that time that he became chairman, the largest corporation in the world. And they made everything, appliances, they made heating and air conditioning, they made medical equipment, they made locomotives, they made plastics, and they make jet engines in Cincinnati. And there's even more companies. I just can't name them all off the top of my head. That's how big GE was. When I went to work at GE to begin my machinist and tool and die apprenticeship in 1970, there were 200,000 union workers in the United States working for GE.
Wow.
It's a fraction of that today. All we're left with today is two divisions of GE. That's how badly managed the GE theory is. You have jet engines, and you have GE Energy, Vernova, it'll be called. Remember, we used to make light bulbs and lighting equipment in Cleveland.
Right.
That's all gone. That's all gone. That's how well the Jack Welch approach to doing business works. And now Wall Street's telling Boeing, we think maybe you ought to think about downsizing the company and maybe get rid of your defense businesses or get rid of some of the other things, the space business and all of this, and focus on commercial airplanes. They even want to buy back the plant they sold off 20 years ago in Wichita, Kansas, said they didn't need them. Well, Boeing can't build an airplane without that plant now because that's where the fuselages are built, which is now Spirit in Wichita, Kansas. And I remember working very, very hard, night after night, little sleep during this several-month-long process to save that site. And we created a new company, and it would build aerospace components, but not just for Boeing, but for Airbus and for Grumman and for other aerospace companies around the world. And today there's about 8,000 people there, and Boeing now wants to buy it back. But Wall Street says you got to get rid of that Airbus work and all that other company stuff so you can focus on your airplane. Well, that's about 4,000 jobs in Wichita that I worry about. And they'll do that in other places across the country. If they get rid of the defense side, that means St. Louis is on the block, where we have thousands of members who build F-15s and F-18s. It means that Philadelphia could be on the block, where they do a lot of helicopter work and other defense-related stuff we probably can't talk about. This has a far-reaching effect, not just on the Boeing corporate suite, but on the workers and communities across this country. And this is a result of what I call being GE'd. Mm-hmm. You cannot, no company has ever shrunk itself to profitability. And yet that's what Wall Street keeps pushing time and time again, and now that idea has reached Boeing. So when the board, going back to the board meeting this past weekend, when they got done and these three executives are gone, the real question is, who are they going to pick up to run the country company? And if they go to another ex-GE executive someplace, I worry about the future of Boeing.
So, Tom, we have a bad situation now, but it could get worse. Boy, I knew I'd get the backstory of what's going on at Boeing from Tommy Buffenberger, our independent labor voice. Tom, I got to take a quick break. I want to talk about Social Security coming up next. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, UL Agency. www.buttonupthings.org. Let's go to line number two, Button Up Things with Tom Buffenberger, our independent labor voice. Got the inside story on Boeing. Let's talk about Social Security. Tom, you're aware that there's a couple of lawmakers, I mean a lot of lawmakers, that would like to cut Social Security, raise the retirement age, perhaps cut some benefits. And once again, you know, they use that word entitlement, like, you know, we're entitled to that money. You know what, Tom, when are they going to get the message that we as workers contributed to Social Security? You, myself, our employers, the same goes with pensions. I don't get it. What do you think is going to happen here, Tom? I mean, these we're at a crossroads right now.
Well, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, introduced this idea that we need to raise the age before you can get your full benefits on Social Security. He said people are living longer, and so they should work longer and pay into it and delay getting the full benefit load. And he said, and in line with that, we're going to have to peel back the level of benefits people can expect to receive. So what they're saying is we want to punish workers who happen to take care of themselves, are now living longer because all the good things that have been given to people to figure out how to do that. And they're going to punish us and make us pay for living longer. Now, in none of his proposals is there any provision that the rich people in America, and believe it or not, there's a lot of them, who do not pay their fair share into Social Security. So they're saying, the rich people are saying to the working people, you're going to have to work longer, and yeah, it may take a bigger piece of your paycheck even, but that's so we can continue to live a life of luxury and ease and figure out where to invest our dollars and make even more money off of you. This is the underlying theme, is the workers who they say feel entitled. Well, you're damn right. I pay for something, I'm entitled to receive something back. And it's just like the paycheck. When you work for a living and you give your labor, you're entitled to the paycheck that compensates you for that labor. This isn't a giveaway. This is, it's like a bank account. You save the money, and when the time comes, you withdraw the money. It's your money. And they're playing with it like they own it. We're going to see how far we can push you. And that whole idea, Donald Trump has announced that he likes that. Yeah, he likes yeah. that. Now, here's a guy who can't even pay his court costs and bonds, saying that the rest of America should have to tighten their belt and suffer a little more so rich guys like him can play the system. There's something wrong here. And my fear is when I hear people say, well, Trump's right, well, that's like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. You know, it just doesn't pan out. So people really have to pay attention to this. And that's where I'll just say the great champion that exists in the Congress we have today is a guy like Sherrod Brown, who keeps fighting this. And sometimes he's got to even jerk some of his own party members in line. But Ohio has a gem there. And for everybody, not just a Democrat, but a Republican, an independent, whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
We got to come together over an issue, and this is an issue, whether you're young or old, this is important to you for the rest of your life. Don't let Wall Street and the moneyed people of this country diminish or destroy a dream for a comfortable retirement. That's important. So that's my message on that. This story will get bigger and bigger as they try to figure out what to do now.
And we will stay on it, I guarantee you. Tom Buffenberger, our independent labor voice. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Okay, Flash. Thank you.
And that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the heat and frost insulators and the latest from the Food and Commercial Workers Union. Until then, All of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.